And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today from Rebuilding Together Philadelphia, Stephanie Seldon. It's CEO and president, and it's director of operations, Brandon Alcorn. Welcome, you two.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today. We're finally into spring, and is that building season?
It is. It's absolutely building season.
Well, let's get started with a quick 101 of Rebuilding Together Philadelphia. Can you give us the elevator speech real quick before
sure.
we get started?
Sure, of course. Rebuilding Together Philadelphia revitalizes communities by transforming vulnerable owner-occupied houses into safe, healthy, and energy-efficient homes.
I love how you say you're rebuilding communities, not that you're building a house or restoring a house, that you're working on a community. So, but let's get started first with what is the state of Philadelphia's housing and its homes? Before the show began, I alluded to the fact that we're old. It's an old city, and we're an older city with our population, and we're a poorer city.
Absolutely. In fact, 1 in 5 of Philadelphia's older adults live in poverty, and as you know, 26% of all Philadelphians live in poverty. 90% of Philadelphia homes were built before 1980, so that combination means that so many Philadelphians live in substandard housing. All of Rebuilding Together Philadelphia's repairs are based on 25 safe and healthy goals. So every repair we make improves the residents' and the homeowners' health and improves their outcomes for living a healthier and safer life.
Then let's get back to the idea of communities. How you do houses not singly, is that correct? You do several at a time.
For the most part, with our signature block build, we do several houses at a time. In fact, we do 25 clustered houses in targeted neighborhoods. Rebuilding Together brings in about 300 volunteers and makes those repairs over 2 days in 3 different neighborhoods. But we also have Rebuilding Together's VoTech in the House program, which does houses one at a time with vocational students working in the homes of seniors. So they're students learning construction in the Philadelphia Public Schools. And about every 2 weeks, they go into the home of a senior to make repairs so that that senior can age in place.
That is awesome. And I want to get into more of that one, too. Let's start with block build, however, because the beginning of the show, the first thing you said was, what's your mission? Revitalizing communities. And so obviously a community is more than one person. So what's the philosophy behind all of this?
Brandon, you want to take that one?
Sure. So we approach the work that we do, the home repair work that we do, on a block-by-block basis, because that's really the way that our communities are organized and our neighborhoods are organized. You talked for a minute about the housing stock in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is unique with the number of row homes. We literally live side by side in houses that are attached to each other. So for us to be able to come and do repairs for 25 homeowners who are all living on the same block or the same 2 blocks, it not only takes care of the physical needs of the home and the health needs of the families, it also allows neighbors who may not know each other to meet each other at our orientation meetings and out on the block while we're doing the repairs. It allows us to take advantage of the volunteers that we have that come out, that we can oversee all of the sites at the same time. And it fosters a sense of neighborhood and community. While we do the repairs, we build planter boxes, we clean up vacant lots. We do all these things that really amplify the impact from not just one home to all of the homes on the block.
Is this kind of a unique program? I know Newcastle County's Habitat for Humanity has a similar philosophy that they want to, when they pick their single houses at a time, they pick them in a cluster like this because of this aspect. But is this unique, going in and identifying blocks?
Community revitalization is part of Rebuilding Together National's philosophy. So Rebuilding Together Philadelphia is one of about 120 affiliates nationwide. So it's perhaps unique in Philadelphia, but not across the country. Rebuilding Together Philadelphia likes to stay in a community between 2 and 5 years to really make the impact that Brandon was talking about, and not just improve one house in Southwest Philadelphia and one house in Northeast Philadelphia. Obviously, it also is a little more efficient for us.
And so is that efficiency in numbers part of it too?
Absolutely.
So how do you select? How do you pick a block in a city this big and in a city that does have a ridiculous amount of row homes that are ridiculously old?
Well, we actually don't pick blocks. We pick neighborhood partners. So kudos to New Kensington CDC, Achievability, and Parkside CDC, who are three partners this year. We choose our partners by whether or not they have capacity, because we ask a lot of our partners. We ask them to pick the blocks and to recruit the homeowners, because those local community-based organizations are really the ones that know the neighborhood. We are situated in Frankfurt, and we have staff from all over the city, but really we want to rely on our partners and their knowledge of the neighborhood. Do they know the community? Do they know their block captains or the unofficial leaders of the block? Is there a lot of owner-occupied housing, and are those homeowners income eligible? So that's what we ask when we choose a new partner every 2 to 5 years.
Oh, you said that. Are they owned? Do we have a problem with that, with the home ownership?
We have a problem with home ownership, absolutely, in that home ownership has decreased in Philadelphia over the last decade since the mortgage foreclosure crisis. But we don't consider it a crisis, but an opportunity. These are homes that are owned and they can be passed on from generation to generation. We built, the city of Philadelphia has a huge poverty crisis. And we believe at Rebuilding Together Philadelphia that being able to pass along a home can really help prevent that intergenerational poverty. Because if you have your own home, that's rent you don't have to pay or a mortgage you don't have to pay. And it can bring someone into out of poverty and into the middle income, which we also have, actually. Brandon, you want to talk about our middle income
initiative? I actually want to quickly jump in for what you were just saying about intergenerational poverty and passing the houses that are these essential assets for building wealth, passing this on to their families, because there's two different homeowners that we're working with right now. That's the case. It's in both circumstances, it's very similar. There was an elderly resident, a grandfather or grandmother who passed away and left the house to an adult child. And oftentimes when that's the case, the elderly resident who's been living in the house hasn't been able to keep up the house. There's been years or decades of neglected repairs that when a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old working-class Philadelphian inherits that house, it's a daunting task to try and take care of the roof repairs and the plumbing repairs and the electrical repairs that were neglected. So when we have an opportunity to work with those people, we're able to really come in and protect that family asset. It's a treasured home that oftentimes there's been weddings and funerals and all of these things that have happened in the house, babies that have been born and all of these things and all of these memories in the house, and the bones of the house are still good, but there's these basic systems repairs and health and safety repairs that are really needed before that child can comfortably live in that house and feel confident that they can stay there for 20 or 30 or 40 years and leave it to their children or grandchildren. So that's something I think that is really special about the work that we do.
Home ownership has been linked to so many different areas of building wealth in a family. And by building wealth, I mean just not living paycheck to paycheck, or at least, you know, what you alluded to. But education, it affects whether or not your kids will go to school, you know, continue with their education. It alleviates so many problems when you have a home in the family name. But
can we talk about health, actually?
Health, yes, definitely on health, because maternal health and newborn health is involved in this as well, too.
And really also breathing issues.
Asthma.
Asthma, yes, absolutely. So 25% of children who live in poverty have been diagnosed with asthma, and COPD is the third leading cause of death by disease in this country. So there's so much that our volunteers, especially our unskilled volunteers, can do to prevent asthma. In fact, we recently started the Asthma Trigger Action Crew attack to reduce asthma. So we bring volunteers in about once a month. And Brandon, you want to tell Laura about some of the repairs that we do in that house?
Sure. The things that we focus on are anything that are affecting the indoor air quality of that house. So the most common things we're doing are removing carpet and installing new flooring in place of that carpet. So oftentimes we'll walk into a house and it'll be wall-to-wall carpet on the first floor and the second floor in all of the bedrooms. Occasionally we find carpet in kitchens or bathrooms because that's the flooring surface that they had available to cover up imperfections in the subfloor or something like that. So we're removing that carpet that can really just holds all of the dust and dander and allergens in it. We get that carpet out. We install new flooring. We install we take care of ventilation needs. So we're installing range hoods in the kitchen that actually exhaust to the outside of the house instead of just recirculating the air. We're making sure that dryers in the laundry room are vented outside instead of just into a lint catcher or not vented at all. And we're also doing a lot of work around the HVAC system. We're sealing up the ducts. We're changing the furnace filters. We're cleaning the grates so that all of the dust that gets into the can get into the air when a furnace runs, that those ducts are clean and it's not recirculating dust and causing problems for these.
What makes a house habitable by Philadelphia standards? I mean, what is a habitable house?
So that's a great question, but what we like to talk about is what makes a house safe and healthy. And that goes back to our 25 health and safety goals that we talked about before. And that's everything from the basic system repairs that Brandon talked about, a roof that actually keeps out the water and the snow, windows that open and close, plumbing, electrical that's up to code. But it also for us includes even basic things like smoke detectors that actually work, carbon monoxide detectors, grab bars and handrails for our elderly seniors, even the smallest things. We had a senior in the Mantua neighborhood who was in her early 80s and was using a step stool to get up and down on in her bathroom to turn on the light bulb, right? To screw it in and unscrew it when she was done, right? So falls are the number one cause of death for seniors 65 or older. And so Rebuilding Together volunteers bought, what do you think, a 50-cent chain, something like that, Brandon, and attached it so that she wouldn't have to get up and down on that stool every time in order to be able to see herself in her bathroom mirror.
Good grief. This is Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, Stephanie Selden, CEO and President, and Brandon Alcorn, Director of Operations for Rebuilding Together Philadelphia. And if you'd like to find out more about it, find out about our local affiliation here, rebuildingphilly.org. That's simple. Rebuildingphilly.org. You can also call them at 215-965-0777, but go to rebuildingphilly.org for more information about everything here, whether you're a homeowner or you're a volunteer, you're a group, etc. That's the place to go. Now, Brandon, you alluded to a millennial, say, inheriting a house that they cannot afford to repair. Or we talk about someone living in a home that does have structural issues, the plumbing, electrical issues, et cetera. And in today's day, let's face it, if you don't have the money to repair them, you don't have the money to get a loan to repair them. So you're going to lose your home if these homes are not built, rebuilt, or restored to the bare minimums that are required. And people lose their homes through these things. This is an important program. How do people get into your system? How do you find them? Do they reach out to you?
They do, but really Rebuilding Together Philadelphia asks our interested homeowners to reach out to the community partner that we work with. So with our block build programs, it's those three organizations I named earlier. With our vocational program, it's ASE. We predominantly work in the Fair Hill neighborhood of North Philadelphia with our vocational program. With we have a middle neighborhoods program, which is a neglected neighborhood, we think, at Rebuilding Together Philadelphia. They're neighborhoods that aren't distressed, but need a little bit of love to prevent them from becoming distressed. And that actually, unfortunately, that program is full. We had resources for 32 homeowners. And our partner there was State Senator Art Haywood and State Representative Isabella Fitzgerald and Congressman Dwight Evans. So the direct access to us, we're certainly pleased, you know, look us up on rebuildingphilly.org or call us at the number you just said. But really, we refer our homeowners to those organizations, so our community-based organizations. Now, volunteers should come to us. And can I talk just a little bit about volunteers? So we have phenomenal volunteers. In fact, I want to mention one of them, Jean Delfero, who's a board member and an occupational therapist by profession. And she donates her time to do occupational therapy evaluations of our seniors or our disabled homeowners. And one third of our homeowners are either disabled or seniors. And she does a full 45-minute evaluation, tells us where to put grab bars and handrails, where to add extra lighting, where to remove tripping hazards. She was the one who identified the light bulb situation with that senior I was talking about before. So shout out to Jean. Shout out to Sue and Ruby and Dawn, who used to be homeowners, who now come out to us and volunteer. And we have one, our volunteer of the year, Ron Rotondero, takes days off in order to volunteer with us. So we have some phenomenal volunteers. No one needs skills. We have block builds every April, every October, and every June. And we'd love to have volunteers with that. We also need volunteers and runners and walkers on May 18th, which is our Run to Rebuild. It's a 5K run and a 2-mile walk in the beautiful Wissahickon in Chestnut Hill. And we'd love to see folks there.
And that will take place down on Forbidden Drive for anyone who's familiar with the Mount Airy, Chestnut Hill area there. So you select a project. You know, it's June. You're getting started up, you know, for the new season and all of that. What is the process? Obviously, you've already selected the homes. You've got volunteers and you've got homeowners and block captains and neighbors involved in this, I'm going to guess. Just describe the process.
So once we have the pool of homeowners that we're going to work with, the first thing that happens for the homeowners is that we go out and we do a home evaluation at their house. So that includes a little bit of a getting to know you interview. So we want to know about the family, and we want to know about any health conditions that they may have. And we want to know about the problems that they've been having. Not everything, when you do a home evaluation, not everything is visible necessarily. So we want to hear about whether they've had problems with pests and where their leaks are, and also what their priorities are. So we have our 25 health and safety goals that we want to address in all of the houses that we work in. But we also want to make sure that that lines up with the priorities of the homeowners who have had this project in mind for 7 or 8 or 9 years. Like, I really want to get this one thing done. We want to make sure that we're able to get that taken care of for them.
They have to live in the house after you walk away.
Absolutely. So we conduct that home evaluation. We go through each of the rooms inside and outside of the house, looking for all of those basic systems repairs that may be needed, and also all of the health and safety hazards that we may identify. After that, the work gets started. So the first people that are in the house are contractors that are working and taking care of the big picture items, getting the new roof installed, new siding if it's needed, all of the electrical repairs, the plumbing repairs, replacing the boilers and furnaces. The age of boilers and furnaces that we find in these houses are 40, 50, 60 years old. So we're replacing them more often now. We're replacing them with high efficiency units to keep the utility costs down for the homeowners that we're working with. And then once the contractors come in and do the big jobs, that's when our volunteers are really able to come in and help us take care of the rest of the work, to get those carpets out and the grab bars installed and the handrails replaced. To do the drywall repairs and the installing new wall cabinets so homeowners have places to store their food so it's kept out of reach from the mice and the cockroaches and all of that. So the pest management is a big piece that I think often goes overlooked. It's one of – we talked earlier about asthma and breathing conditions. After carpets, pest – the presence of pest is the leading – is the second leading trigger for asthma attacks in a house. And the with an aging housing stock and water entry issues and attached housing that you can't always control what the situation is next door, that our homeowners are often dealing with recurring pest issues that they've tried to take care of themselves and gone to Home Depot and bought the cockroach spray or the mousetrap, but that often doesn't really do the trick. So we provide integrated pest management services that really can take care of this issue for real for them. And then once the contractors are done, that basically wraps things up. They're the ones that are putting the finishing touches on and walking away from the house, leaving it safe and healthy for the homeowner there.
And do the homeowners get involved in this as well? And what about the neighborhood block captains and any organizations in the neighborhood? Do they get involved in this process too?
Absolutely. Our homeowners, if they're physically able, work right alongside our volunteers. So the volunteers come in after the contractors go in and make those basic system repairs, right? We're not obviously putting volunteers up on roofs. And then it's full steam ahead for the volunteers and the homeowners. And we have many block captains who are out on the block, even if their home isn't the one that's being repaired. Either block captains or sort of the unofficial block captains.
So we've been talking about blocks, and we've been talking about big chunks here, but you also mentioned that you have programs that get students, people who are learning the trades, into homes. What's that program?
So we call that our VoTech in the House program. So it brings public school, Philadelphia public school students in high schools that are learning construction, carpentry, plumbing, electric. It gets them out of the classroom and actually into the homes of seniors in North Philadelphia to provide the essential repairs to help them age in place in those homes. So it's really a win-win. The homeowners get the repairs taken care of that they've really needed, and oftentimes are on fixed incomes and not necessarily as physically capable of them as they may have been when they were younger of taking care of these repairs themselves. And the students get a chance to see what it's really like to work in construction in Philadelphia, that there's a lot of things that you don't necessarily think about when you learn to wire a GFCI outlet in your construction lab at school, or frame a wall, or change out a toilet. It's different to do that in an actual house where you're not quite sure what you're going to find when you open up the floor or open up the wall. And there's a homeowner who may be looking over your shoulder, or a baby in the back bedroom who's crying, and there's furniture you need to make sure that you're putting drop cloths over and cleaning up after yourself. There's all of those soft skills and client management, in addition to the actual construction skills that the students are learning. And this gives them a real chance to see what it's like to work in construction in Philadelphia.
And you're working in Philadelphia. You've mentioned some of your partners in our state and legislature there, but you have to be working and playing nice with others. Who are some of your partners that you are dealing with?
Right. So Habitat for Humanity, certainly. Philadelphia LISC is a convener and a funder for us. We have many. The Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh is a huge partner for us. But really, the hardest working folks are those community-based agencies that we rely on to provide us all of our homeowners. So huge kudos to them. Brandon, who am I forgetting?
We also work closely with the city. With the Philadelphia Housing Development Corporation is a partner of ours with and the Housing Trust Fund. They help us with some of those basic systems repairs across our programming, taking care of some of the roofing and electric and plumbing and HVAC repairs.
And, of course, it takes a lot of donor dollars and
Absolutely.
Volunteer hours.
Right. And board member support. Right. Couldn't do it without the wonderful Rebuilding Together Philadelphia board members.
And if we do want to get involved with you, go to your website.
Absolutely. RebuildingPhilly.org.
And there do you look for businesses, and do you look for organizations to join you on projects?
Absolutely. We have many partners in the business community who come out and work at our block build. So it's a great team building event, as well as a way to support affordable housing in Philadelphia. We have about 10 to 15 homes every block, and I would say usually at least 6 or 7 of them are businesses in Philadelphia or in the surrounding suburbs who bring their employees to come in for a day of volunteering.
That's great. And then if I'm a business and I'm hearing this, do you accept donations of, besides cash, in kind? Do you look for materials? Do you look for businesses to offer their expertise?
Absolutely. We would, especially if their expertise is in construction. Brandon, you want to take on the materials question?
Sure. We're always we're always looking for people who are able to make donations, whether it's in-kind labor or in-kind materials. There's contractors who will come and serve as our experts at the block build. So there, we have electricians who donate their time and plumbers who donate their time and carpenters who donate their time that really make our block builds work. And then we have people who are rehabbing homes and have cabinets that have come out of a recently renovated house that are still in great shape that we can clean up and repurpose within a few months and get into a new home, and appliances that are donated to us, and building materials, whether it's drywall or flooring or paint or anything like that, that those are things that we love, and we're able to turn those donations around quickly. If we receive something, we're able to get it into a house within a few months of receiving the donation. So that's definitely something that we welcome and ask for more of.
How many houses are you able to tackle each year? What's your impact? How many homeowners and families are helped by Rebuilding Philly?
About 100 every year.
100 every year. So that's moms, dads, grandmas, grandkids.
Right. There's an average of about 2.5 residents per home. So that's about 250, right? If I did, it took me a little while on that math.
How many houses is that? Is that
100?
Oh, yeah, right. 100. That makes it real easy. And you've got a huge operating budget, so of course, money is very important to you. And obviously, cash is always appreciated. Cash is always the thing that drives this the wheels.
You took the words out of my mouth, Laura.
It sure does. But again, great fundraising opportunities coming up is May 15th. The
18th.
May 18th. I even have it written down. May 18th, the Run to Rebuild, and that will be held Forbidden Drive there in the Wissahickon. It's easy to get to, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And you can register up to the day of?
Absolutely. And so much fun. There's face painting and a kids run, but also there's a little special treat at the end, free screwdrivers or Bloody Marys. So if that's your thing, just know that we have New Liberty Distillery who's donating that vodka to us.
I love it. A screwdriver. At
get
the
it?
End. Yes. We won't go into the Bloody Marys, but
but variety, yeah. Right?
Variety, the spice of life. And this thing is important because that is your big fundraiser each year.
Absolutely, it's critical.
And of course, that goes to pay for all of this.
It is only used on home repairs.
And so, of course, for more information about that too, just go to their website, which is again real stupid simple. Rebuilding Philly. RebuildingPhilly.org, the place to go. That's where you'll find information about all of their programming. Or you can call them at 215-965-0777. But it's really easy to just go to RebuildingPhilly.org. And my guests today have come from Rebuilding Together Philadelphia. Stephanie Selden, it's CEO and President, and Director of Operations, Brandon Alcorn. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Always welcome back. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.